WildTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on the Rock of God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rack, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu. King of Spice desu. Kobashi Kenta. Hidaka Aikuto. Onegai shimasu.
What? Ojigana Maja. How the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my god, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my god, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kick your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Welcome to another edition of The Rack. I guess another one does bite the dust, huh, Rock?
I think another one does.
That wasn't evil at all. Not at all.
No, it wasn't.
I'm, of course, joined by Rock, who is giggling evilly, and we are brought to you by iBlack.com. So, Rock, how are you tonight besides being evil?
I'm good. I'm pretty good tonight.
I think we're both pretty good. Yeah, y'all aren't going to get that in the chat room and on the archive. That's kind of a inside joke,
yeah.
Yeah, big inside joke. But we've got a lot to talk about tonight, don't we?
It's a packed show tonight.
I mean, my goodness, we've got people getting released, we've got people supposedly on the way out. We've got Impact to talk about, which was fantastic. We've got our Destination X preview, which I can't wait to talk about because I'm actually really looking forward to this pay-per-view. And, of course, we had SmackDown on Tuesday, which just screwed everybody's schedules completely to hell.
Yeah, yesterday felt like Friday and tonight felt like Saturday, and I'm all confused. Where's Rob? Where's Subway? I'm confused.
Wrong show.
And I'm an hour early. Goddamn.
Yeah, you are an hour early.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. But before we get into the super packed show, we've got our question of the night for everybody. And we want you to think about this. And this is something we're going to talk about later in the show. We posted this up on Facebook and Twitter earlier today. We got some great responses. But we want our responses from our chat room. So if you'd like to tune in and participate, you can come to the show, come in our chat room at wildtalkradio.com. Just click on the live button. We've got a great group in there, very active, very participative. We love you guys. And so come in and give us your answers and your thoughts and your opinions, because we want to hear them.
Yes. Let's tell them what the question is.
The question of the night is, who is the most underrated X Division wrestler in TNA history? And this is going all the way back to 2002, so you can pick whomever you choose.
We had a really interesting... We have a few responses from Facebook and Twitter tonight. One was different. Just, yeah.
Different good or different special?
Special.
Oh boy, I can't wait to hear this one.
Yeah, so we'll get into that later in the show. But Lindsay, what are people talking about tonight?
I think the biggest thing people are talking about is TNA Knockout. Angelina Love requested her release from TNA, and she was granted it.
The underused Knockout, Angelina Love. Yeah, that was a surprise on Sunday night when we heard about it during Quick Hits. It's like, I think it was Quick Hits. It might have been The Great Debate. Anyway, during Wrestle Talk Radio, it was like, Angelina Love has given her release? What?
Yeah, she apparently, I guess, was not happy. We haven't gotten the full details yet. I suppose when she gives an interview to whomever she gives it to, everybody will be keeping an ear pressed to the ground to hear her reasons and find out what she's up to. But yeah, I'm happy to see her leave just because I know she'll go somewhere else or she'll do something else or she'll be better used. But I'm sad to see her go because she was one of their better performers in the Knockouts division. She was also one of the founding members of the Knockouts division.
She was. And she was. Her and Velvet Sky, they were a great combination as the Beautiful People for years in TNA Wrestling.
They were. They were fantastic. And unfortunately, Angelina wasn't getting used, and she decided to move on. So more power to her there. I hope she finds great things and all the success in the world.
They spent a lot of time building her up with Winter for a few months there, and then it just slowly the angle died off, and she was barely used, and that's a shame. Angel Williams is her actual name. She goes by now. It's sad to see her go from TNA Wrestling because she was a highlight for the company, but you know she can WWE in our future.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. That's one of the other topics we have to bring up, isn't it? Nice little segue there. Are more WWE divas on their way out? We've seen the departure of Michelle McCool. We've seen the would-be departure of Kelly Kelly, potentially. Several other divas have left.
The Bellas, for example.
The Bellas, for example. Thank you, my mind blanked. Are we going to see more WWE divas start to leave, and will that bring an influx of female wrestlers into the company as they search to replace them, or will they continue with the model mentality? Now that Triple H is in charge of talent, I have to wonder.
We've talked about this before on this show. I think it was on the show. Every 5-6 years, they sort of change over the crop of talent in the divas division. So, with divas not being used often on television, where there's only certain focus on some divas like AJ and Eve at the moment, while some of the other ones are in the background, as it were, mainly Natalya and Beth, they sort of do a turnover for the talent. And I wouldn't be surprised to see someone like Alicia Fox go.
Well, I think that's that's a very good point as far as, you know, they bring these girls in. Kelly company for 6 years. I'm sure she has other things that she wants to do, as she's made that plain as she's seeking outside bookings. The Bellas had other things they want to do. I mean, these girls were brought in, probably with the exception of Beth and Natty, the majority of the divas that are there now were brought in as models. They were trained to wrestle pretty much on the job and then put on TV. So you have to figure some of them are looking at is, okay, well, I've gotten as much out of this as I'm going to get. Let me move on to something else, something less stressful, something less travel intense that I can deal with.
And that's a good point. A lot of them have those options, especially Kelly and Eve Torres. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 6 months she's gone from the company.
Yeah, but this is an interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
Would you potentially see, with the departure of some of the bigger named divas, them maybe not replacing them right away and focusing more on some of the other girls that maybe don't get that focus, like they're focusing on AJ right now, bring Natty back up, bring Beth back up. They're so hot and cold with Beth and Natty. I wish they would just get hot for them and stay hot.
And here's the thing, they've done more with AJ in the last 6 months than they have with Natty in a few years.
Yeah, we're not counting the farting angle, just saying.
No, there's no we talked about this a few weeks ago, I believe it was. Would a WWE Divas show work on the WWE Network? if they go with the way they're developing AJ, and they just do that more on television, you may see more divas stay with the company and their spots rise, if you get what I'm saying.
Right, and Jersey's making a good point. Maxine left her on her own, the Bellas left on their own, and Kelly left her on her own. And that's kind of what we're saying, is they've gotten the maximum exposure, probably with the exception of Maxine. She was just pissed off she wasn't getting used, so she left.
Right.
But, you know, the girls that were brought in, the more model girls that don't have, and this isn't to say that they don't have a dedication to the business, but they don't have the same love for the business, it seems, as Natty does, or Beth does, or even really AJ does. There isn't that same level of dedication there.
Right.
That they, you know, they've gotten what they can get out of it at this point, and it's, okay, well, I'm going to go off and do what I want to do now. They've made their money, and now they can do what they want to do.
If you look at someone like Kelly Kelly, she's been there since 18, she was 18, 19?
Yeah.
So, you know, she's one that probably wants to experience life outside of WWE for now.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them.
I don't blame her either. I mean, it's, you look at Kelly, for example, she's 25, 26 years old. She's in the prime of her 20s. You know, she could hit as far as modeling is concerned. If she wants to act, she can do acting. She's really in that sweet spot as far as her age is concerned, that she can do a lot of things. And with being on the Maxim 100 list, being on the cover of Maxim, doing everything that she's done, the exposure will help her tremendously.
It would. And we will see what happens with the rest of the divas. One thing we should point out, while WWE is keeping divas under contract for now, they've kept the manager under contract for like 18 months and only used him once.
Yeah, speaking of people on their way out, Armando Alejandro Estrada was released from WWE again after being there for 18 months in apparently incognito witness protection ninja style. Nobody knew he was fucking there.
I thought he was brought back for like a 1 week deal when he did something with Tyson Kidd on WWE Superstars, because for a while there they were doing this whole gimmick where Tyson Kidd was finding a different manager every week. He went through Michael Hayes, he went through a couple others. He also went through Estrada and was like, okay, that's cool, see Estrada back, and then he was gone, and apparently he was getting paid the entire time.
You know, bravo for him for staying under the radar and, you know, collecting a paycheck.
Hey.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's like, hey, I'm here, I'm getting a paycheck. I don't have to do jack shit. Here I am. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm good. Thanks. See y'all. But I think he's working down in FCW, actually. That's where he was. Could be wrong on that. But I think it's kind of actually, to me, a shame that they let him go, because they're starting to have a resurgence of managers. You could have actually brought Estrada into, I know it's a stereotype, but doesn't make it any less true, manage Epico and Primo. And kind of replace Rosa.
Yeah.
She's a great looking piece of ass, but yeah, they need a real manager, and Estrada is at least a good manager. I remember when he managed, what's his bucket, when he was going against, Cena.
Umaga.
Umaga. And he was a good manager, so.
Yeah, you mentioned Rosa, I just go back to what I think we recorded last night, like, wait, that was Rosa? In case you haven't been to our Facebook page, facebook.com/smalltalkradionetwork, we put out a new series of videos called WTR Riffs. You should check them out after the show. There's three up there now. They're funny. Myself, Lindsay, Mace, and Omega, we go through some interesting moments in wrestling history.
We do. There's some fun ones out there. Like my personal favorite, The Zombie. So go check it out, because, yeah, it's kind of awesome.
Yes, yeah, so check them out after the show. Speaking of checking things out, we saw a return on Monday Night Raw from the one and only Diamond Dallas Page.
We did, and he looked great. And I had to applaud him for diamond cuttering Heath Slater. Well done, sir. Very well done. Thank you very much for that. Because Lord knows I can't stand that red-headed little bastard.
No one really can. It was a big surprise. Well, not really. It was kind of put out on Twitter and Facebook that he was going to be there. Everyone thought he was going to wrestle Heath Slater, and then all of a sudden out came Doink.
Yeah, it was great to see Doink, but I mean, honestly, and we talked about this, I think, in one of our after-show chats, of if they bring in DDP, what can they really do with him? Because at this point, he's obviously retired from wrestling. He, as far as in-ring performing is concerned, I don't think he wants to risk doing a match. So we were trying to figure out what they do with him, and they figured it out, and it worked. I mean, they had Brawler play Doink and go out there and do the job. And then DDP came out and gives Slater the diamond cutter. I mean, it was perfect.
It really was. It was a nice surprise. But one little comment. When I think of Monday Night Raw, I kind of don't think Diamond Dallas Page.
Well, I do, but I think of that awkward phase in the where he went after somebody's wife. But we're not going to get into that because, yeah.
Yeah,
Katie Vick, that didn't happen.
Yeah. But other people who are returning to WWE, apparently, it's been advertised, Bret the Hitman Hart is coming to the Raw 1000th episode.
Hey, hey. He's added to the list, although I still want to see Taker. Still want to see that name on there. I want him to show up.
We're going to be talking about Taker later on, but Bret Hart's going to be on Raw on July 23rd. And you didn't hear this from me, but you did. He's going to be on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio the following week.
Hey, really?
Just pass that along to some people. Bret Hart's coming to Wild Talk Radio Network on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
Tune in, y'all. It's probably going to be a really great interview. I know I'll be listening. I'm sure Alan is ecstatic.
Alan is ecstatic about it. It's going to be tell your friends interview. Tell them. Show up. Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Bret Hitman Hart. But he's also going to be on Raw on July 23rd. But one other thing people are talking about coming out of tonight, actually.
Yeah, coming out of Impact tonight is, you know, Bound for Glory, the location has been announced, and I'm sure King Kittens is going to be probably happy when he hears this.
Coming to I believe it was the Grand Canyon University Arena in Phoenix, Arizona, Bound for Glory on October 14th. Tickets go on sale Friday, August 24th. You see superstars from Spike TV's Impact Wrestling, including Hulk Hogan, Bobby Roode, Sting, Jeff Hardy, Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, Allison Aries, RVD, Mr. Anderson, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, and the lovely and lethal TNA Knockouts will be on hand for Bound for Glory.
No Storm?
He was not listed in this press release.
Storm's not there, I'm not going. Just saying. It's all about the cowboy. But, you know, we can get into the cowboy later because I think we're ready for our first break of the evening, aren't we?
We are. One other quick note, TNA Fan Interaction gives will be also taking place on October 13th. You can go to shoptna.com for ticket information.
All right. Yes, go buy tickets, please. Buy them out. Sell them out so they will come back west and we can see them west. They won't stay east. But on that note, we are getting ready to take our first break of the evening, so y'all stay tuned, because when we come back, we'll be talking a little Impact and what happened tonight, and oh boy, did some stuff happen.
Oh, it did.
So stay tuned. You're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio Network, brought to you by iBlack.com.
Thank you. You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fia Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to make some order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable fried rice.
No meat. And do you... Egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means the chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have the green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Athletes, both professional and amateur, know that sun glare is an athlete's worst nightmare. The fine folks at iBlack.com have created and patented glare-reducing under-eye patches known as iBlack to help improve performance and the entire game day experience. iBlack is used by athletes in Major League Baseball, Major League Lacrosse, and Minor League Baseball. iBlack has proud partnerships with many professional athletes in motorsports, the National Football League, and even WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Show your support for your favorite athlete and team by purchasing the innovative iBlack products from iBlack.com. That's iBlack.com, the official iBlack of athletes and fans alike.
Tuesday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ever wanted to date one of the hosts of the Wild Talk Radio Network? This is your chance to date the end-all, be-all of the Wild Talk Radio Network, the one, the only, the Omega.
This is Omega, seeking friends for the end of the world. Turn-ons, long walks on the beach, rainy days, and the word tater.
I had a dream about you last night. We were doing stuff, and it was all hot and sweaty, and I just kept calling your name over and over.
Taternet!
Turn-offs, being set on fire!
If you can meet these requirements, then contact him today on Twitter at TJOmega, and you can get the pleasure of a dream date with the one and only Omega.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
We'll be right back.
welcome back to The Rack, brought to you by iBlock.com right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. If you're just tuning in, you've tuned in just in time to hear our Impact recap, haven't they, Rock?
They have, but before we get to our Impact recap, we have breaking news.
Oh, shit always breaks on Thursday. I love this.
What's
the breaking news?
WWE superstar, the one, the only, the great David Otunga has been cast in the movie The Hive.
Oh, dear God.
It's the new WWE Studios project with Halle Berry as the lead. Jennifer Hudson just broke the news on Twitter about Otunga being cast in the movie.
God, that's all I can keep saying is, oh God, because I am terrified beyond belief now. Let's just hope he doesn't spend the entire 2 hours flexing.
Yep, no, no, no.
And he actually has more personality than that of a carrot.
Jersey girl goes, well, he gives us all highs anyway, so why is it that not surprising?
This is true. This is very true. But unfortunately, I don't want to get highs in the theater unless this is a straight to DVD.
I don't think this, with Halle Berry in it, I have a feeling it's going to get an actual release.
Wasn't her last movie Catwoman?
Probably. I'm not the movie expert.
Oh, okay. Well, I figured you hung out with the movie expert, so you would know, but apparently not. Fine!
But, yeah, let's get into some Impact Wrestling tonight. Some bully started off the show tonight.
He did, and you know what? Some bully may have started off the show, but he had an angry lawyer on his ass, didn't he?
Oh, he did. This lawyer got some courage tonight.
And unfortunately, the bully got a lawyer.
The bully got a lawyer. The lawyer got courage. And they're going to duke it out next week on Impact Wrestling. But yeah.
And Abyss got a restraining order.
Yeah, Abyss has a restraining order. He cannot show up anywhere during the match next week. So, Park got up in his face tonight. I enjoy this.
I thought this was a fantastic way to open the show. I'm biased because I think Joseph Park is made of awesome sauce. But I loved the way they opened the show. It set a great tone, and I thought it was wonderful development for Joseph Park and for Bully Ray.
It was, and we should point out, let's go to this now. Bully Ray started off the program by announcing he has finally moved away from MySpace. He has moved to Twitter.
Yes. And I think we have a clip, don't we?
We have a clip. His account is RealBully5150, and after Impact Wrestling, he held a press conference on ImpactWrestling.com, and here are some of the highlights of this press conference.
The king of Twitter, Bully Ray.
In one night, I've taken over the entire Twitter world. I'm bigger than Bieber. I'm bigger than Gaga. You name it, I'm bigger than them.
All right, we do have actual members of the media here. Do we have... Just shout out your questions for them. Your Twitter address, at RealBully5150. Yes. Congratulations. You were trending worldwide.
Huge. I was trending number one worldwide. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know you were trending.
Trending number one worldwide.
Why now? All right, question's coming to why now.
Why not? Next question. How's that?
Thank you. Was that okay. They want to know, what are your plans for the future tweets?
Well, I'm going to tweet when I feel like it. Tonight was just a taste. The millions of Bully Ray followers can count on at least one tweet a day.
You're promising one tweet a day?
One tweet a day.
Well, that is quite a... I mean, that is... Okay, more questions. Will you be following anyone on Twitter?
This has been a big... In the past 2 hours, since I took over the Twitter world, people have been asking me, am I going to follow anybody on Twitter?
I'd like you to follow me. I put up a lot of stuff back.
Of course, I will not be following anybody. I don't care about anybody. I'm not following anybody. Maybe a couple of porn stars and my good buddy Zach Wilde, but that's about it.
Let me ask you something. Here, they're coming in fast and furious. From Alice Hams, 08562. What a name. What a Twitter name. Are you going to be bigger on Twitter than Taz?
Taz is a mere stepping stone. I'm probably bigger than him already. I mean, does he really have any followers?
Yeah, he's got,
people, Taz?
Got a lot of followers.
How many?
What does Taz have? 100-something thousand? 100,000?
100,000. I'm over that already. I'm like 400,000, right?
Not yet. You're getting there. You'll get there, I'm sure.
I was over...
No, you weren't over 400,000. You were over 4,000. It's your first night in. Let me ask you something, though, really. Do you understand what it means to go around, myself, the poor Dave Lagana, a bunch of people backstage, you actually physically threatened if we did not retweet your first tweet? Come on.
Did the threat work?
Did you look at my Twitter feed?
No, I don't follow you.
Yes, it worked. I retweeted it, reluctantly.
Did it work with the other guy, Lagana? Did it work with everybody else?
Yeah, he did it too.
So then what's the problem?
From Bic 100. Oh, here's a great question. Glad we're going to the fans.
How's my chain feeling on your face?
Please. Which porn stars have you been with?
I've been with a couple. You really want to know? Jenna.
Jenna?
Yep. The other Jenna.
The other Jenna?
There's two Jennas.
Both Jennas.
Ron Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy?
Yeah.
My namesake.
Yeah. I directed him.
You directed him?
Yeah.
In what direction?
In one of my renowned adult features.
Hey, Ron, just do that.
Absolutely.
Do that thing you do.
Yep, he played the plumber.
Yeah, the solo flick. I saw that.
No, I'm telling you. Don't doubt me.
I'm not. Trust me.
He's been with Ron Jeremy.
I'm a little scared. But yes, I'd like to point out, in the past 3 hours, Bully Ray has gained almost 5,000 followers.
That's impressive, honestly.
And he actually was trending. I don't know if it was number one. I didn't see it go to number one, but it was at least in the trending topics worldwide.
So, yeah.
So,
follow him. Real Bully 5150 on Twitter. He promises you one tweet a day.
He'll be addicted within a week. Just like the rest of us, because as we all know, Twitter is crack.
It is. It really is. But yeah, to sum up, next week, Abyss is banned, and we get Joseph Park and Bully Ray.
I'm a little disappointed that we're not going to get this on the pay-per-view.
Well, if you figure out why, I understand. It's the X Division pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, I understand why, but it's just like, oh, damn, I wish I could have seen that on pay-per-view, but you know what? I get to see it for free!
For free!
So, yeah, but definitely looking forward to that. I can't wait. I hope to see more development from Joseph Park. So, go Joseph! We love you here at WildTalkRadio.com.
We do. That's Joseph Park _ESQ on Twitter.
And let's see. After that, though, we had a nice little promo or a meeting or whatever you want to call it between Austin Aries, double A.
A double.
A double. I'll get it right one of these days. And H double.
And H. A double and H double.
Oh. Where they talked about Aries handing over the belt tonight.
Yeah, Aries thought he had to give it up Sunday. Hogan wants it tonight. We'll see what happens, because, well, there's some interesting things. And speaking of interesting things, right after that, they had a little interview with Dixie Carter.
They did, where they tried asking her about the Claire angle, and she didn't want to talk about it, although she said she hadn't talked to Claire, which I find difficult because she's sitting right next to her at the show.
Seriously. She was, they said it, she's Dixie's there standing, Claire's there sitting with her hands in her head and her head in her hands, or whatever you want to say, going, why couldn't you two talk? I'm just, you know, I'm confused.
This is someone you gave money to that you've been helping, and you don't call her and ask her what the hell. Okay. Not quite the way I would handle it, but alright.
Whatever. It's...
It works. It furthered the storyline. It got better later in the night. And they kind of followed the hot opening with a semi-hot match. This was okay. The first match was for the television title. It's back, people.
It's back.
D-Von defended against Crimson. They fought. It was a really kind of short match.
Yeah, it wasn't just, long.
It was all right. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Crimson. And Devon's not the most charismatic individual in the world. God
no,
bless him.
No, he's not. It went like 2 minutes or so, and basically Crimson tried to cheat a lot, putting feet on ropes, and yeah, it was a match.
I was going to say, the exciting stuff happened after the match. By the way, D-Von won. He's still the TV champion. Brock, what happened after the match? It got a little hot and steamy, didn't it?
It did get a little hot and steamy. As Madison Rayne came to the ring, and, well, okay, she's going to go after D-Von. Wait. She went after Earl Hebner?
What can I say? Earl's a chick magnet.
And Madison Rayne laid a big one on Earl Hebner, and he just went, ah.
I have to say, that is, she sexed up his face. There's a lot of that going around in professional wrestling these days. Of course, if you're going to kiss him, make it count.
As the song goes, she shook him all night long.
She did. I think Earl was still shaking later in the show.
Yeah. So.
And by the way, they were talking about that kiss for the rest of the night.
They were. They really were.
And Omega's listening. Hi, Omega. All the ladies go to Earl when they need to get screwed. Broom-ching. This corny joke brought to you by TJ Omega.
For more insightful ones, follow on Twitter at TJ Omega.
Okay, and moving on to get serious for a minute.
Yes, let's get serious for a minute. Not to quote Lance Storm, but let's get serious.
We saw the return of the other man made of awesome sauce in TNA, Chris Sabin. And poor Sabin, I wanted to hug him so bad.
Yeah. he came out with a big bulky knee brace on, and he basically talked about how this was, you know, supposed to be a dream, but it's becoming a nightmare for him. After last year, he suffered a big knee injury, came back, suffered another one. Doctors telling him he should consider retiring and doing something different with his life, and that's kind of hard for someone to handle if he's actually told that. That's whew.
Yeah, he was having a tough time with it. He was playing it up really well.
Yeah, knowing him, he probably will make it back. Hopefully. But as he continued, he was interrupted by the World Heavyweight Champion, Bobby Roode.
Yes. And I have to say, Mr. Roode was on point tonight. He was fantastic in his promos.
He was. He said, all the X Division wrestlers are the same. You risk it each and every night, and at the end of the day, you get no reward. Roode noted that the poster boy of the X Division will challenge him for the X Division title, which is Austin Aries. And then Roode went on the attack on poor Sabin.
Which was... Go ahead.
Just saying, he went on the attack on poor Sabin.
He did, which was a little surprising. It definitely helped make the segment that much better. But I was surprised that they were going after that, mm-hmm. considering what could happen on the show. But it helped sell the segment hook, line, and sinker. I love Bobby Roode. I think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I wanted to take a crush to his head.
That's how good he was.
That's how good he was.
Everybody's made the save for Bobby, for Chris Sabin chasing Bobby Roode out. It was a great way to get sympathy for Sabin and built up Austin Aries, built up Austin Aries, and more importantly, built up Bobby Roode as the monster heel that he is.
Yeah, I mean, they're selling this match between the two, hook, line, and sinker. I want to see this Sunday. I really want to see this whole pay-per-view. They've done a wonderful job of building it up.
They have, and they're making matches seem important.
Which is always key, especially when your world title is involved. Just saying, WWE.
What's our next match?
Anyway, our next match was for part of the X Division title tournament. It was a qualifier between Dakota Darsow and Flip. Darso?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of him. And Flip Casanova, who I've never heard of.
Dakota Darso is the son of Barry Darso. If you don't remember who Barry Darso is, he was one of the Demolition here. I believe he was Demolition Smash. He also played the Repo Man in WWE.
Gotcha. Now I have a point of reference. I had no idea who he was. Because they kept talking about him, I'm like, who the hell is that?
Yes, he was part of the legendary tag team Demolition, and he was also the Repo Man. So, there you have it. This was an interesting match with an interesting finish.
It was. Flip picks up the win after doing a 360.
Some sort of corkscrew thingy moonsault. Off the middle rope, and, well, Darso got the short end of the stick with that one.
Darso got the short end of the stick, and at some point in the match, his nose got the short end of the stick, because Flip must have done something to it, because he was bloody the hard way at the end.
Yeah, I think he took a knee right to the face, and woo-hoo. He was bloody, and then you saw Flip Casanova stand there looking for Christy Hemme for an interview, which he wasn't doing, all covered in blood. It was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, it's like, alright, interesting segment. They keep showing him covered in blood, which I guess helped sell him, I don't know, but yeah. I guess they couldn't show Dakota with blood dripping out of his nose, that could be bad.
Yeah, that probably didn't look so hot on television.
But, yeah.
So, Flip moves on to Destination X.
Yes, he does. So I guess he joins Sanjay Dutt. He joins.
We'll get to the rest of them in the next segment where we preview Destination X.
Oh, fine.
Well, instead of running them all down because you can't remember them all, and I don't have them in front of me at the moment, so
I can scroll down. I can totally scroll down. Oh wait, shit, we don't have it in there, do we?
No, we don't have it. That's fine.
Anyway,
probably said next segment.
Moving on.
We came into the show. Well, no, we actually did come into the show very prepared.
Yeah, we actually were prepared this time. Go figure.
I know. Up next, we had the Knockouts in action.
Yeah, we had Miss Textmacher cut a promo with Tara talking about how she thinks Gail Kim is a coward for hiding behind her lawyer. But she's still excited to have a tag team match with Tara and Madison and Gail. They recapped Taylor Hendricks, and then they had the match between the girls.
Typical match. Quick, to the point. Went a few minutes. Tess Mocker beat Madison. Simple, effective. I guess it advances and makes Tessmacher look strong. This week it was just a match. It wasn't anything earth-shattering this week out of these four ladies.
It was a nice setup for the Knockouts title championship that they're having next week on Impact. I'm not the biggest fan of Tessmacher. I'm not the biggest fan of Madison Rayne. You could have taken the two of them out and had Gale versus Tara, and I would have been totally okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
But they look good. They were sound. It was a decent enough match, and it set up the title match for next week, which I'm excited to see.
It should be all right. They're building. Next week's show is going to be a really good show that you're going to get for free with some big matches on it.
Well, that's okay. It's basically the big matches they can't put on this show.
Pretty
and
much.
They have too much time out to the next pay-per-view, so it's, well, if we're going to do them, we're going to do them now. And I'd rather have a great follow-up show
than something lackluster. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, logic! Logic!
Alright,
yeah.
That
nasty L word that, you know, wrestling doesn't use.
They recapped James Storm. They talked about him and his family. They talked about how they're friends, but Hardy doesn't pay his bills. They hyped up the match later on in the evening between James Storm and Jeff Hardy. But out came the one and only phenomenal baby daddy, AJ Styles.
And he was actually really good on the mic, despite his little flub.
He did.
His brave arm. He was really good on the mic, and I have to tell you what absolutely sold me on this segment was the fact that Christopher Daniels walks out with an apple teeny and is drinking it on stage while they're doing this. That's a high-class heel right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it's done.
Classy. Stay classy, Christopher Daniels. And if you missed our interview with Daniels, check out the archives right here at wildtalkradio.com.
But yeah, basically they pushed the storyline. AJ said he was curious to know how Daniels was going to make the fact that he was Claire's baby daddy stick. There were word exchanged, and we ended up getting a match at Destination X between AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels in a last man standing match. And if you didn't want to see it before, I'm sorry, I kind of want to see it now.
Yeah, the one thing I hope, they don't start to wrestle each other. This should be a fight. This should be a fight to the finish. And I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really kind of excited to see this and see where they go as far as continuing the storyline. They're kind of making up for it now, despite the really awkwardness there a couple weeks ago. But yeah, this needs to be an all-out fight, an all-out brawl. AJ's got motive. Daniels has got motive. Let's get this done, sons.
I know it's going to be good. It's really going to be good, and it's going to be the highlight, one of the highlights of this pay-per-view.
Yeah, and speaking of screwy things on the show, we had a Hulk Hogan in a meeting after this where some random guy tells Hogan they're not cowards and he delivers him a note. And what did the note say, Rock? Do you remember?
The note came with aces and eights on it and that they're going to gonna be introduced next week. But as I found out, this is where I'm scrolling up in our conversation as we were talking during Impact, they gave the meaning for what those cards meant. I'm trying to find it here. Where is it? Oh, it means that aces and eights are better known as the dead man's hand.
Oh my god, it's Taker!
Oh my god, it's Taker, Taker. Oh my god, it's Taker.
Yeah, Taker. Oh my god, totally. Taker's coming to Impact. No.
No, Taker's not coming to Impact. I'm sorry.
That would be like the biggest coup ever, but no, he's not coming.
No.
But yeah, I'm curious to see where they go with this. I actually like what the recapper said in his recap.
Mm-hmm.
Where he said, the note reads, "See you next week. I believe the intention was to show they have poor penmanship." Which they do, by the way, if you see the note. And also, the guy sitting there with the camera behind him looking over his shoulder as they're showing Hulk Hogan sitting there looking at the script, reading it, might not have been the best of ideas. Just saying.
Yeah. Might not have been the best idea, Tina. Just...
Yeah, so this was kind of a little screwy. This didn't fit. The rest of the show was really good up until this point. And then everybody just kind of went, what the hell?
Yeah, pretty much. But speaking of what the hell, our next matchup featured Lars Only and current reigning and defending one half of the All Night Express in Ring of Honor, Kenny King.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Kenny King was on the program tonight. Ooh, and he was steps above his competition for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, Lars Only looked like he had just come out of wrestling school in comparison to Kenny King. I mean, King just owned his ass. There was no two bits about it.
And, you know, the news really is Kenny King, ROH Tag Team Champion on Impact Wrestling, wins the match. And it's now on the pay-per-view.
So I guess this means that King may be switching companies?
It could be. It really could be. Reportedly, his contract has run out, and he is a free agent. What that means for his stay in Ring of Honor, who knows? He tweeted earlier today, that change is a-coming. And, he changed his Twitter around a little bit, to older pictures of Kenny King. So.
You know, if he decides to move, it would be great for TNA to pick him up as far as an acquisition is concerned, especially if they're trying to rebuild their X division.
Mm-hmm.
He would be a phenomenal foundation piece to have.
He really would be, and he was impressive.
Yeah, sitting here, I had never seen Kenny King before tonight, and so I was sitting here watching and going, okay, which one is Kenny King? And then they started to wrestle, and I figured it out in about 5 seconds, which one was Kenny King.
Yeah, there's Lars Ole, and then there's Kenny King.
Because all I knew is there was an ROH guy in the match. I didn't know his name. And then it's like, okay, which one's the okay, yeah, I got it now.
There he is.
So there he is.
There he is. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where they dug up Lars Only, but thanks for trying, dude. Go get a haircut.
Hope we never see you again.
But after the match, we had an interview with Kenny King in which he was hitting on Christy Hemme.
Yes, he was.
And she was standing there going, ew, oh my god, hot, sweaty wrestler.
Yeah. You can't take your eyes off me. And she's going, ew.
Ew. Yeah. And sweat is dripping off him, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We should mention that they listen to you. They listen to me and Brian from last week, but they listen to you.
They did. Christy Hemme was covered up this week.
Bad decision.
I thought she looked fine. She looked hot.
Oh, yeah, she looked hot. That's not the issue. Oh, they should never listen to you.
What do you mean they should never listen to me?
Well, in the case of Christy Hemme, they should never listen to you.
If they listened to you, then she'd be out there in pasties in a thong.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I think it was a nice change to not have her boobies plastered in my face. They could just do that once a month. They'd be okay with it.
Anyway. They showed a little promo with Austin Aries riding his bike. Talking about how he wasn't blessed with genetics. How he started out in wrestling as 150 pounds, and, you know, he's worked his way into wrestler he is over the last 12 years. He says he can't rest on his laurels until he wins the TNA Heavyweight Championship on Sunday.
Yeah, this was a great promo to further sell the match, like they really need to at this point, but they just keep building it, and whoever is doing the build for this, please book the rest of the show. Please. Like, just do this across the board for all the matches and all the stories that you're doing, because this has been a fantastic lead-in to the pay-per-view.
It has. It really has.
And they have sold Aries as a legit contender for Rude's title.
And that's really good. A year ago, he was just starting with the company. Now he's in the main event of the pay-per-view.
Yeah. I was thinking about this as this was going on. If you had told me 5 years ago that Bobby Roode and Austin Starr / Aries would be in the main event of a TNA pay-per-view fighting for the World Heavyweight title, I would have laughed at you.
You're nuts.
I'm nuts. But here we are.
Sunday,
and we're going to get Bobby Roode versus Austin Aries, and it's probably going to be phenomenally good.
I'm really looking forward to it, but we're going to get more into that in just a little bit. Kenny King and Austin Aries talked a little bit backstage. Kenny King said it was an honor to fill the big shoes that Aries is leaving behind as exhibition champion. Kenny King, we'll get into this in a little bit, but he may be your next X Division champion, and I don't have a problem with that.
No, I would be perfectly okay. I could see him or Sanjay Dutt holding the belt and being completely credible. I would like to see them give Dutt the nod, just because he is one of the founding members of the X Division, and give him that chance that he didn't get the last couple go-rounds he's had in the company.
True. Yeah.
But I'd also like to see him maybe have a feud with King, just to pass the belt eventually to King and give the nod to him.
Yeah. But we'll get our official pick in a few minutes.
We will, yes.
I know you're all stay tuned for that. Our official picks, where you're going to take it to Las Vegas and bet the house on what we say.
Please don't. Because I pick who I like. I don't pick for any other reason than who I like. And if I'm right, I'm amazed.
But anyway, what is considered our main event is up next.
And I would argue match of the night.
Without question, match of the night. Bound for Glory series matchup, James Storm and Jeff Hardy.
This was... I honestly thought they were going to take this to the time limit. I was sitting here watching the clock going, okay, are they going to have Storm lose? Are they going to have Storm win? Or are they going to take this to the time limit and they get a draw in the Bound for Glory series? And what happens? Jeff Hardy picks up the win via pinfall, which, I don't know about you, I'm kind of okay with. This was a perfectly credible loss for Storm.
Credible, yes. Did it need it to happen? Yes. If Storm's going to lose to anybody, it should be Jeff Hardy. It happened early enough in the series where down the line you won't remember it. If it happened like in later August or September, that would have been a bigger deal for Storm leading up to Bound for Glory. But this was fine, yeah. Loss here doesn't really hurt him. It moves Jeff Hardy up the standings a little bit. He's now tied for third, I believe. If I remember my Bound for Glory series math correctly.
Yes, the current standings are James Storm is in the lead with 36 points, Samoa Joe is in second with 27, Magnus is actually in third with 14, and he's tied with Hardy for 14 as well, so they're both technically in third.
Right.
And then you have Angle, Anderson, Pope, Van Damme, Daniels, Ray, Robbie E., and AJ Styles.
Yeah, this matchup saw James Storm go for the super kick. The last call super kick, missed it. Hardy then hit the twist of fate for the victory. The crowd was really into this one.
They were. They were super hot for this match. Which just goes to show you how over both these guys are. If they can get the Orlando crowd going that much.
Yeah, it was let's go Storm, let's go Hardy, and yeah.
But yeah, great, great match. I wish it had kind of been on pay-per-view, but then again, I wish it wasn't because we got it for free!
For free. Folks, for free. So be happy. They hyped up Kurt Angle versus Mr. Anderson next week on the show. I was like, why are they talking about that when Kurt has a match on Sunday? But it made sense to plugging the Bound for Glory series match next week on your Impact Wrestling, which will feature also the Knockouts title match, Tess Mocker and Kim, and Bully Ray versus Joseph Park. This all led to our final segment of the evening for TNA Wrestling Impact, or Impact Wrestling, as it were.
Yeah, which we saw a comp where Austin Aries was going to hand over the belt. Hogan comes out to the ring, calls him out, and who comes out instead but Bobby Roode? And
he got right up in Hogan's face.
Ooh. Which was fantastic. Oh my god. It was just like, wow. I mean, if you didn't see it, go back and watch. If nothing else, watch this segment. I cannot stand Hulk Hogan, but Bobby Roode sold it so much that I love this segment. I mean, it was just, like I said, he was on. He was so on tonight, it wasn't funny.
He did the brother line to Hulk Hogan.
He did.
And got
he totally
away
did.
With it. He got away with it, too.
Well, you know, when you're that badass, what can you say?
Yeah. that guy heated it. Out came Aries wearing the X Division title. Roode said Hogan drank the Aries Kool-Aid when it comes to Option C. Basically, it set up everything for the pay-per-view when he beats and... when Roode said that when he beats Mames, it ends the career of Austin Aries, the blood of the X Division, and Aries will be on Hulk Hogan's hands at this point. They really got into it. Austin Aries gave a list of options, and the final one was, let's go at it right here, right now. They were ready to go at it. Roode said he's not worth it. Then they get into a physical a little bit, but the finish, Austin Aries lay out Bobby Roode with the X Division title to end Impact.
And we go out with Austin Aries standing there with the World Heavyweight title in his hands, which I gotta say looks good with him.
Yeah, it's gonna be... I don't think he's going to win, but I wouldn't mind if he did.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if Aries wins, but I doubt he will. But you know what? On that note, let's take our second break of the evening, and we can get into that a little further when we come back and talk about Destination X.
Let's do that.
So, you are listening to The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, and we are brought to you by iBlack.com, and we will be right back. It is a true passing. World, I'll find a way to cross the line. Everybody's doing what everybody's doing. Everybody's doing the same thing. I'll be doing what I'll be doing. I'll be doing my thing. The world spins round to the right, they say. I'll be spinning it on the way. Doing what I can, doing what I know. The world's my stage, I'm the show. It is my destiny. It is a truth I seek. In this world, I'll find.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, man. What's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
In fresh them since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Vipers only got one heart.
You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
And I don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry in the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait and made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Alright, wrestling fans, this is Rick the Model Martel. Yes, of course, the one and only the model. You are listening right now to Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, a network with some class, of course. And remember, fans, arrogance is not just a fragrance, it's a way of life.
And welcome back to The Rack, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, brought to you by iBlack.com. If you're just tuning in, thanks for listening. You missed our Impact review, so go ahead and tune back to that in the archives. It should be up in the next couple days. And if you're still with us, thank you, and why?
Why? Because we're awesome like that. We're your real source for Impact Wrestling coverage on a Thursday night.
You had to take that, didn't you? You just had to take that shot.
What? It wasn't a shot.
You're not bitter at all.
Bitter? No, I'm not bitter. Anyway,
moving on. I think let's take a little break from the Impact talk because we have some awesome tweets of the week, don't we?
We do, and here's our intro song.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I love that intro. So I think you have one. We have the unanimous tweet of the week that we both decided wins, and then we have our own single. So yeah. Why don't you do the unanimous one and yours?
From Ricardo Rodriguez, throw your cat at your girlfriend day. Yay!
To which we still say, pictures or it didn't happen.
Exactly. And mine came from CM Punk. Swearing on Twitter. Quick, Stooges. Call the feds.
And the Punk.
I know. He's been good this week on Twitter.
He has.
And apparently, before you go, apparently he doesn't have a YouTube account, and he saw the one that's out there, and he was
not happy.
He wasn't. It was kind of creepy to him.
Angry Punk was angry, and creeped out, so that's never good. Bad combination.
Yeah. But your tweet of the week?
My tweet of the week also comes from Ricardo Rodriguez. He's kind of been on point this week. In reference to a Tajiri versus Noble match from No Mercy 2002, he says, Anonymous, I wonder if he's swearing in Spanish. Me, he's Japanese.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good one right there.
And you can follow him at RRWWE. He is... He's random, and he's hilarious.
He is. But,
why they don't push the hell out of him, I don't know. But they should.
Yeah, they should. But let's get into some Destination X.
Yes, let's. Right now, we have on the card 3 regular matches, and then we have the tournament to decide... the new X Division title.
Champion.
So I
yeah.
say we...
The new X Division champion.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I should never drink and do this show at the same time. It's just a bad thing.
Take another shot.
Take another shot, yeah. Sorry, I was celebrating something earlier. So we start at the bottom.
Yes, let's start at the bottom.
We're actually going to do... I say we do the tournament last.
That works.
Because there's many people involved in that.
Yes.
And I have to open the separate page for that. So, starting at the bottom, your Bound for Glory series, Samoa Joe versus Kurt Angle.
Samoa Joe is my pick. For the sole reason, well, move him up the standings, but Joe and Angle on a pay-per-view, oh my god. If Joe is motivated and Kurt Angle is motivated, oh my god, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, if anybody remembers their feud from when Angle first came in the company, this should be every bit as good, if not better. At this point, I really don't care who wins this match. I just kind of want to see it.
Yeah, they're safer workers now at times, but they're still going to be hard hitting, and yeah, it's going to be one. This show is going to have a bunch of okay matches, and it's going to have a bunch of really good matches, and this is going to be one of the really good matches of the show.
Yeah. I'm actually going to go against the grain, and I'm actually going to say Angle.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I want Joe to win, because it's a Bound for Glory match, I'm going to say that they don't let Joe catch Storm just yet.
Right.
Because right now Storm is not on the card. So he doesn't have a match going into the pay-per-view unless they have him wrestle on the Saturday before, the Friday and the Saturday before. But I say Joe picks up a loss because Storm lost tonight. Joe picks up a loss that makes them even.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's still behind Storm, and then he doesn't catch up with him till the very end of the series for a nice climatic finish.
Okay.
So King Kittens, do you have that?
If he doesn't have it, he can always listen back to the archive.
This is true.
Yes. Anyway.
Yes, he's got it. Okay. So moving on, we have the last man standing match, AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels. And who do you have, Rock?
Christ, I forget who I picked on Sunday.
Well, your picks on Sunday don't count.
Yeah, I know. See, this is a toss-up. Honestly, this is like... after tonight, AJ. I don't know why. Let's go with AJ. But it's going to be screwy.
I'd have to agree on that one. I think I'm going to say AJ, too. They need to let him pick up a win against Daniels just because I don't think he's gotten one yet in this feud. And I don't know why, but I see Kaz involved in either helping AJ or helping Daniels, and it screws it up.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Because I doubt they can stretch this much longer. And if they don't finish it this pay-per-view, which they're not, they're going to have it wrapped up by next pay-per-view.
Apparently everyone's going with AJ so far.
But look for I hope it to be a very physical match. I hope it to be a brawl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got to be a brawl. It can't be, you know, the typical wrestling match between AJ and Daniels. It's last man standing. Got a brawl.
Kind of got to beat the piss out of each other, guys.
Don't do what Rock and Cena did and have a wrestling match after a year of promos. Let's see some physicalness between these two and let's beat the hell out of each other Sunday night.
Yeah, but I wouldn't mind the wrestling match, but yeah, the feel that you get from this is going to be a fight. So please give us a fight. Please!
Yeah, that's all we ask.
That's all we ask as fans, you know, because our opinion matters so much. But skipping over the Ultimate X tournament right now, we're going on to the World Heavyweight Championship with Austin Aries and Bobby Roode. So, Rock, who do you have?
Bobby Roode.
Yeah. I'm going to have to concur again. I'm sorry. But Bobby Roode, they're not going to take the belt off him right now. But I wouldn't mind seeing a feud between Roode and Aries leading to the next pay-per-view.
And that may be a reason why they take the belt off him. I'm not saying they do, but a reason to take the belt off of Roode is to prolong this feud. And have the rematch at Hardcore Justice.
This is true. But I don't see them taking the belt off of Roode right now. I mean, James Storm is kind of sort of the deemed match for Roode at Bound for Glory.
Mm-hmm.
And they could certainly say F you to all of us and go ahead and put the belt on Aries, but I'd like to see them keep the belt on Aries, have Aries chase and elevate him,
mm-hmm.
and possibly have a bigger feud later down the line. But I don't see Aries, and this is no offense to him at all, I don't see Aries being ready just yet.
Yeah, but hell, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and it'll be for all the good reasons.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? If they decide to put the belt on Aries, more power to them.
I'll be glad to be wrong on that one.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a fantastic match. I have little doubt that we will get a satisfactory victory either way. But I just have a hunch that Roode is staying with belt. God, that Roode is staying with belt. The belt is staying with Roode until Bound for Glory. I'm going to put the liquor down now.
Shot.
Stop making me drink. I have to work tomorrow.
Then we have one more thing to cover, and that's the X Division tournament.
It is. As of right now, according to TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call their website, .com, they have the exclusive details on who has qualified for the X Division title as of not tonight. They haven't updated it yet, but currently, the current X Division stars that are entered into the tournament are Zema Ion, Kid Cash, and Doug Williams.
Mm-hmm.
The outside wrestlers are Sonjay Dutt, Rashad Cameron, Kenny King, and
Flip Casanova. Yeah.
So, out of those
seven, there should be one more coming, and that'll probably be some sort of surprise. Maybe
Pee Williams. Petey Williams, please give me Petey Williams. Please. I'm sorry, I really want to see him. I can't help it. I want one more Canadian destroyer, goddammit.
We know you do. Ugh. Something I said that. Oh, God. Oh, fuck. Let's stay with that.
Yeah, looking at who's in this, as much as I want them to put it on King just because he could hold that belt and do wonders for it, I want to see Dutt get it. He deserves it. He really does. Now, that doesn't mean he will get it, but yeah, I'm going with Dutt. But I would love to see the match be between Sanjay Dutt and Kenny King for the belt. Just because, can you imagine that?
Get Kenny King, get Dutt and Douglas Williams, and I guess Kid Cash in the Ultimate X. That could be pretty good.
Yeah. Just don't put Zema Ion in there, because Lord knows the last time you put him in an Ultimate X match, he was fail.
Yeah. People might get hurt.
Yeah. So, put the guys in there that could do this, that know what they're doing, and just let them go.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our picks. We'll get everyone's picks. If you want to make picks, media@wildtalkradio.com is the email address. Tweet them at wildtalkradio. If you have picks for the show.
And you can tune in Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern for WrestleTalk Radio, where they will be talking about Destination X after it happens.
Yes, join myself, Mace, and Omega as we cover Destination X.
No Tim Stein?
No Tim Stein.
Where's Tim Stein?
On the road!
Well, that's slacker. So wait, you mean to tell me that Mace and Omega are actually going to watch TNA?
Yeah.
You're going to get Omega to watch TNA?
Yes, I'm going to get Omega to watch TNA.
I want proof of this. Tune and I'm in. Waiting for him to send me a dirty message. I'm stalling.
Tune in. Sunday night. Omega is going to get hardcore with some TNA.
Broom-ching.
We'll get a random call in from Tim. I do homebrew Stein.
Yes.
Yes. But we got a transition out of TNA. And
yeah, I think it's... Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just going to, you know, we're going to do a little transition. We're not going to go break. We're going to do a little song. What, you wanted to go to break?
No.
Okay. But can you let me finish my point?
No. Go
Why?
Ahead.
Anyway, we're going to do a little musical transition, because it helps, you know, with the opening of what happened on Friday Night SmackDown. Whedon started, but Kane started the fire.
Kane certainly did start the fire. Actually, WWE create-ish had a great tweet about this segment, but basically, if you didn't watch SmackDown, it was the Great American Bash, or a rehash of it. They were celebrating the 4th of July. Teddy Long was in charge. And they were having a barbecue out back. And the show opened with Santino, the United States champion, officially attempting to light the barbecue. He failed, so they got that fire starter himself, the god of fire and sex, Kane, to light the barbecue on fire.
Squee?
That's your squee right there.
Okay. I didn't know if that's where I'm supposed to go. Squee!
Yes, you're okay. Supposed to do the squeeing now.
Okay.
But this, I thought it was funny, even though they're trying to get Kane over as a heel. I thought it was really funny. It was really cute, and I kind of want to have him come to my house and light my barbecue like that. And my actual barbecue.
Okay, whatever you say.
He can light my fire other ways later, but for just the time being, he can light my barbecue by doing his pyro thing.
Right.
That was a little hilarious.
That was a great open to the show. But one thing that wasn't great for somebody, well, first, if you're Mexican, you better should have had your paperwork intact for this episode, as Del Rio was doing a spot check. But Sheamus, well, you know, he had a little run-in with one of Del Rio's cars, and it wasn't pretty for Sheamus.
Yeah, Sheamus kind of had a rough night. The show opened with Del Rio playing a border agent, which is kind of ironic, but yeah, anyway, Sheamus came out, they were supposed to, I guess, have a match, and why you would slam the hood of a Rolls Royce onto your opponent's head, I don't know, but God, I hope they got insurance for that car, or Vince bought it. But either way, yeah, Sheamus went face first into the engine block and got his head bashed in a couple times by the hood of the Rolls Royce and was actually cut open the hard way in this match. And WWE posted a update about the assault, saying that Sheamus was treated for head wounds and contusions, and that they were unsure of him being ready for Money in the Bank, which is less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, I have a feeling Sheamus will be ready, but this is one of those things where they gotta get this match off the ground, because this is the third month in a row that has been scheduled in some shape or fashion, and well, we'll see if they actually get there. But effective way to get over Alberto Del Rio as a heel eating into the match.
I would agree. I mean, at this point, Del Rio is sold as a heel. I believe, honestly, their tripping point is Sheamus. I mean, no offense to him at all, but I don't buy him.
Yeah.
I kind of do, but I kind of don't. And there's just, he's such an afterthought to them sometimes as the champion that it's like, if you know, you want to look at him and go, well, y'all don't care, so why should we?
That's a good point, honestly.
So, I feel bad for Sheamus in a way, mm-hmm. and I wish they would put more importance on him in the title, but that's not going to happen, no. Unfortunately.
Can I sum up the next segment really quickly?
Go for it.
Layla needs better music. Kali cannot wrestle. Yet they won!
Yeah. You know, honestly, for Layla, they should have just left her with Michelle McCool's music, because it fits better, even though it makes me grind my teeth. Because giving her Tiffany's music just doesn't work.
No, it really...
Because basically, Tiffany's music is, I'm a slut, I wanna screw every man I can find. Just... say it if you really listen to it. So, yeah, but poor Kali, I don't know whether he understands whether he's coming or going sometimes. I really don't.
Yeah. And,
bless his big heart, but yeah, yay! They won, and we got Kali out of the way early.
Yeah, they defeated, what the fuck? Drawing a blank. Oksana and Antonio
Cesaro.
Cesaro, yeah.
Which I was actually a little ashamed to see Cesaro lose to the likes of Kali. Oksana I could give two fucks about, but
at least he didn't take the pin.
At least he didn't take the pin, and he looked good in the match. I just wish they would give him a better feud, honestly, because that's Claudio Castagnoli, I believe.
Yes.
So yeah, give the man a better feud. Let him work. Trust me, you'll get your money back in him.
Yeah. Leave up next, we had our first qualifier. Cody Rhodes is moving on to Money in the Bank.
Thank God.
He took on Christian in what was a pretty good match. Cody Rhodes had to win or he would not get in. Christian was already in the qualifier, so this match really wasn't meant for much for Christian, just to keep Cody out. But Cody Rhodes hit Crossroads and picked up the victory. It was a pretty good, solid matchup for the show.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, the two of them can put together a good match. It's solid. It's somewhat entertaining. I mean, because there's really nothing behind it at this point, it's a little just kind of eh. But it was entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
And they're finally getting some better names that make more sense into the Money in the Bank.
And the other bigger name into Money in the Bank would be one Dolph Ziggler.
Again, thank God. Although I honestly wish they had figured out a way to get Ziggler in the WWE title match because, oh my God. He can bump like a mother, and they don't have him. They don't have anybody that can bump in that match.
No, they don't. But Dolph Ziggler beat Alex Riley,
which I think is just a tad unfair. But it's not up to me, is it?
No, it's not up to you. And Riley doesn't even get jobber music. He just
He just walks out at this point. You know you're on your way out when.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Then we had, the promo of the night, I guess you can call it. Michael Cole interviews Bigger Than Business, AJ Lee.
Can I just rant on this for a second?
Yes, you may.
You know, that's fine if you want to have Cole hit on AJ, except for the fact that he has admitted on air, one, he's married. He's admitted it on air multiple times. And two, he's wearing his damn wedding ring. If you're going to have anybody hit on AJ, have Josh Matthews or somebody else. But Cole hitting on AJ after those two facts was just like, really? How am I supposed to take this seriously? It's just... The whole thing was stupid. Thank God Brian and Punk showed up when they did, and they kind of saved it.
They did. Brian came out, called Cole not an investigative journalist, called him a sexist, emotionally stunted loser. He then buttered up to AJ for the most part. She only wanted Punk to go through the table, and he forgave her for not seeing him in the... forgave her for not seeing him in the line of fire. That brought out CM Punk.
Yeah, and that's when this got good.
Yeah, it did. Punk chased Cole out of the ring. Basically, he was blunt and honest and said AJ is mentally unstable and needs some help.
Yeah.
Brian then piped up and said, Punk is trying to do an end around and act like he actually cared about AJ. He then accused Punk of trying to butter up, and then said he was only doing it because he knows that he needs AJ to beat him. Then things got interesting.
Yeah, I can sum up this segment pretty much one way. Daniel Bryan kissed CM Punk. Via AJ.
And that's all you need to say.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, go back and watch the segment. That's literally what it adds up to.
Pretty much, yeah. She kissed Punk. She kissed Brian, Punk left, then she kissed Punk, and then skipped away to the back.
And I would still like to say she has still only had sex with Kane's face. Although she did take it, I guess, make it technically to second base with Brian.
Yeah.
But Punk has only been kissed. She made it to second base with Brian, and she had sex with Kane's face. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Up next, a little bit of six-man tag team action. Santino, Sergeant Slaughter, and Jim Duggan, Team USA.
Needs to wear a shirt.
Team USA took on Team International, Camacho, Hunico, and Drew McIntyre.
Team USA with the Italian-Canadian at its helm.
Mm-hmm. He is the United States champion.
Right. This was your patriotic pop for the evening, ladies and gentlemen.
It was.
And again, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, please, it's a shirt. Wear one. Please. Begging you, please.
Team USA. Team USA won. Oh.
His man titties suck worse than Mae Young.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
They do!
Ooh. Not denying that, but ooh. Ooh. Up next with the shocker of the night, Ryback fought a wrestler. Kind of.
Ryback actually got a roster member. Barely, but he finally... I guess all the jobbers were off for the 4th of July, so they had to use somebody on the roster.
Poor Kurt Hawkins. Ooh, you did the job, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. He did. Bravo to him. Bravo to Rex. I guess he's going to get him next week, but they're finally moving Ryback onto the roster, which means there is no end to this crap.
No.
We are all doomed now.
Yes. Then we had our main event, the 19 man over the top rope battle royale, the Great American Bash battle royale, the winner becoming the general manager of Friday Night SmackDown next week.
I'm happy, but I'm disappointed at the same time because we were so close to getting Kane as GM for a night. So close.
So close, but yet so far.
But so far, who wins? Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder is your GM for SmackDown next week.
Pretty much. We're going to get a Ryder gets his revenge on Eve. He did during the show at some point. He spilled punch on her, I think it was. Yeah. So Zack Ryder's in charge of SmackDown next week. It's one of the better Great American Bashes they put on.
It was the Great American Bashes that they have put on, but it was still kind of just... The overall show was just kind of eh.
Yeah.
I did what it had to do, but it was very kind of sort of bland and expected in a lot of ways.
Yes, it was.
So it was like, okay, you know, the ending had a nice finish. It had its cute, quirky moments, but overall it was just like, okay, you know, I'm sitting here watching this. Why? I mean, for a live SmackDown, it was just you would think they would do more than what they did, but I guess we'll have to see what happens on Raw.
Yeah, because as of now, there is no general manager for Monday Night Raw.
It's going to be the computer. I'm telling you, it's going to be the computer.
And you know what? I don't have a problem with it being the computer.
Yes, and by the way, for those of you who don't think the GM is going to be the computer and Twitter, WWE has job postings out there right now for a social media producer and a social media analyst. Or, I'm sorry, a live events analyst and a social media manager. So, essentially the producer handles all the polling and the tweets for the shows at the live events. So, yeah, they're serious about this. They're going to hire somebody to do this, which means your next GM will more than likely be the computer.
Yep.
And Twitter.
Pretty much.
God help us all.
Seriously, help us all, because when, yeah.
Cena fangirls are going to take over.
Yeah. Time to transition into our discussion topic of the evening, and no other way to do it than...
Yay!
The dead man cometh.
See, I knew if I switched back to him, he would come back to me. This is just the way it works.
Yes, the dead man cometh to Survivor Series?
Supposedly, that's the rumors, that WWE has felt that he performed adequately at WrestleMania, I believe is what the phrasing was, and yes, that they're looking to bring him back to work at least one or two more shows this year. That he's got some, I think, several matches left in the tank was the phrasing of the story. And so, yeah, they're looking at him to return for Survivor Series.
And this begs a question. What do you do with The Undertaker at Survivor Series?
Get him hair extensions.
Okay. What does everybody else want to do with The Undertaker at Survivor Series? That's the question. Not even at Survivor Series. In general, what do you think? It's like, we all know what Survivor Series is going to lead to. It's going to lead to something he's going to do at WrestleMania. And in all likelihood, I think the direction that some people want to go, probably Taker, is Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about this the other night, and it's going to be interesting to see. Oh God, no, not Heyman versus Lesnar. No, or I'm sorry, Heyman versus Taker. No, is if Vince keeps Lesnar around, because kind of the general thought is that Hunter convinced Vince to at least keep Lesnar until SummerSlam.
Right.
Where he could get his match in, and then from there it was kind of believed that Lesnar would probably be kicked to the curb because they got what they wanted out of him.
Pretty much, but they also, I think their goal is to get WrestleMania out of him.
But if he's acting like a diva, if he's being a problem and giving them headaches, is he worth?
You're already paying him the money, so I think it's kind of worth leaving him. If you don't use him much, just use him. Brock Lesnar is going to draw, and using him on the road to WrestleMania, it's going to help because a certain somebody is going to be a little bit busy to do all these dates that they want for Billion to the road to WrestleMania. He's going to be busy promoting another movie.
Yeah, thanks for leaving us again there, Mr. Johnson.
But this is the interesting question. How do you get Undertaker versus Lesnar to WrestleMania?
Well, I think one thing you could do is, we all know that the 23rd of Raw, or the 23rd is the 1,000th Raw.
Right.
DX will be there, Brock will be there, so there will be some setup for SummerSlam between Brock and Hunter. Now that begs the question, is Taker involved in the setup? Either does he save Hunter and Shawn from Brock? Does he challenge Brock himself? What, you know, do they have any interaction between the two at that point? And does a post-SummerSlam match, does Taker show up at SummerSlam? Do they do a setup there? And does it lead to Survivor Series?
How I would kind of do it, it's sort of like, let's see, how to put it, let's have Taker, save Shawn and Hunter, which if you think about it, at the July 23rd at Raw, if you think about it, that'd be kind of interesting, Taker saving the other two guys from that era.
Yeah. Because they said, Heyman said, you know, Hunter is the last of that era on Monday night. And it's like, well, wait a minute, Taker's not retired.
Taker's not retired. That could have been foreshadowing something. But yeah, the way I would do it is I would have Taker save Hunter and Shawn after they get beat down by Brock Lesnar. Because you know Brock is going to attack when he shows up. Since they're doing a DX reunion, it makes sense to have Shawn take a bump for him and have Hunter take a bump or two for Brock, have them laid out, as there's more damage going to be done, you hear the gong, lights go out, Taker's in the ring, Brock backs up, And that's the only confrontation you have with them for now. I would have Taker... I don't know what you do with Taker at Survivor Series, but you have him do something at Survivor Series. Get him a match of some sort with somebody. Off the top of my head, I don't have anyone in mind that I want to see him fight at Survivor Series. Maybe Helvet John Cena?
Well, that's the thing. Who would draw bigger at Mania, John Cena versus Taker, or John Cena or Brock versus Taker? That's kind of the question.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Because you've got Cena, who went against Rock last year. There's been enough space in between Cena's last real feud with Taker, if you want to call it that, to where they could do it again.
Yeah, it's Cena's a different person at this point.
See, the way I always kind of pictured it is, if you want to go the Brock-Taker route and lead them to Mania, is you have Brock and Taker square off at Survivor Series, and Brock just absolutely decimates Taker. Which then leads to Taker coming back probably around the Rumble, or even as late as Elimination Chamber, and they build for Mania, and you have Taker get his revenge at Mania.
Right. Because that's the one thing I think we both agree on. If you're going down the roads with Taker Brock at WrestleMania as the possibility, you got to have Taker looking for revenge. He's got to be on the hunt. He's got to be looking for the for Brock Lesnar, and they can't, as good as the build up between Hunter and Taker was this year, the build up, if they go there, has to be physical between these two.
Yeah, they can't do what they did last year, unfortunately. It's going to have to be very physical. They're going to have to get into it more than once. And I like at this point that they've moved the storyline beyond the streak. It is no longer about just, I want your streak, I'm going to challenge you at WrestleMania. Last year it was, I want redemption for what happened the year before.
Right, and if you see Brock destroy Taker at Survivor Series, it will put the doubt in the general public's eye that Taker could lose again. Because the streak is the streak, but the matches need to be personal. It can't just be a match. It has to be personal between the guy Taker's fighting, because that makes it more believable. He's out looking for revenge. And what better place to do it than WrestleMania for The Undertaker?
Yeah. My only concern with Brock versus Taker at Mania, and this kind of ties into what Kane Kitten said about, you know, Taker maybe giving a young guy like Barrett a rub. As much as I would love to see that, Taker needs somebody at this point to be in the ring with him that can look out for him. And I'm not saying that Barrett can't, and I'm not saying that Brock can't. I just have my doubts. Taker needs somebody that's on his level to be in the ring with, unfortunately, at this point. So you need somebody like Cena or Jericho or Shawn or Hunter or Kane or Big Shows, people like that are on that same level as Taker, to kind of look out for him. Because while I know he will protect himself, he needs his opponent to protect him as well. Because they want to get as much as they can out of him, and so they're not going to put him in any risky situations.
Okay, let's post this to the chat room. If it's not Brock Lesnar, who do you think he should go to Mania with? Who would you have let's start it with this. Who would you have him go to Survivor Series with to start this whole thing off with? Because that's the target date for a match, Survivor Series. It's the event he debuted at. You can get away with a lot. Hell, you could even have him... Well, could you have Undertaker captain a team?
You could.
If you had him captain a team, who could you see Taker teaming with?
Kane.
Okay, beyond Kane.
Cena.
Okay.
Depending on, I picture. I don't know why Taker pulling from the top people. Mm-hmm. And you almost do kind of like the set crowd versus the younger guys, the upstart guys. Like new blood versus old school, but better. If that makes sense. And that way you can kind of use that to build.
And if that would happen, the old guys need to lay down.
Yeah. And you could even do some type of setup. Like if you wanted to go Taker Cena, you could have Cena screw up and cost them the match, and Taker gets pissed and goes after Cena. Or Cena, you know, the ill-fated Cena heel turn, which will never happen. Cena turns heel. Or says, to hell with this, they have the egos get in the way. And it costs them the match. And you have Taker. I don't know, for whatever reason, Brock versus Taker is tempting, but Cena versus Taker is more.
Yeah. Because then that's all down. Cena never loses. They say Barrett versus Taker at Survivor Series.
If this was a couple years ago,
yeah,
and they were doing the Nexus thing, I would say yes, absolutely. But 2 years ago in 10, when you had Barrett cost Taker the Buried Alive match against Kane, that was really the year to do that. Because it would have made complete sense, but instead they went with Shawn's retirement. Shawn retired in 10, right? No, they went with Hunter. Hunter took one.
Shawn retired in 2010, but that was before that storyline.
Yeah, but sorry.
You got your dates right. You got your dates right. You just
got the people wrong.
Take another shot.
Yeah. But they kind of messed that up. They went Hunter Taker again instead of Barrett Taker. And I can kind of see why, because seeing what kind of shape Taker was in at Mania, he needed to be in there with Hunter.
And at this point, Barrett needs to be built back up. They need to get him on a string of big wins, get him in a nice, real good feud where he's not trading wins. He needs to dominate and get back into the title picture when he comes back, which could be any day now, supposedly.
Yeah.
He could be back on the active roster, even starting it, as soon as after the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, he could be back.
Yes.
Hell, he can even be another person in Money in the Bank, because I think there's 7?
Yeah, he could be a surprise entrant in Money in the Bank, which I would be okay with, and they could still go with their original plan of having Barrett win Money in the Bank, and he challenges whoever the World Heavyweight title holder is, probably at Mania.
Right, so there's a lot of things to happen. Cena Taker at Survivor Series could be a nice draw for Survivor Series, though.
It could. I mean, I would be interested to see that match in general. It would be a money match just because people would pay to see it, because it has not happened since
03, 04. I think 04 was the last encounter they had. I like the idea of Cena Taker. I just don't know if WWE does.
Because here's the problem. If Cena doesn't face Taker, who does Cena face at Mania?
The jabroni beating, pie eating, eyebrow raising movie star, The Rock?
You can't do that 2 years in a row, though.
But you so can. I don't know.
But it's such a cop out.
I know. I know it is. I don't know what you do with John Cena, honestly.
Because here's my problem with it, is you had him face Rock in what was supposed to be the biggest match of all time. And after last year's match, no offense to Rock and
Cena,
they put on a decent match, but it was not what a lot of people were expecting. So if you try to go that route again, it's not going to do what it did before, because people are going to remember this past Mania and go, oh God, that was crap. I don't want to see that, or I didn't like it, or it wasn't what I was expecting. And they now have to top Cena going against The Rock. And they've already done Cena Brock. And Cena went over.
Yeah, and that kills any rematch. That's the problem right there. You don't have anyone on Cena's level that he hasn't faced yet.
I mean, I would potentially suggest Cena Hunter, but I'm not entirely sure how you would set that up.
I can't think of...
unless Hunter screws Cena over as the authority figure, but even then, I don't see that happening. You can't do Cena Punk. They just did that a couple of years ago.
And they might be doing it in a month.
You can't do Cena Bryan. Bryan isn't big enough. They already did Cena Kane. They've done Cena Show.
Cena Ziggler, no.
While it would be awesome,
not yet.
It's not going to happen. It's not big enough.
Ziggler's not ready yet for Cena.
Cena Ziggler would be good for Survivor Series.
If they start building Ziggler now.
Which they kind of are.
They are, but they aren't. Because he keeps losing. Every big match he's in, he's taking the fall. That's the problem with Ziggler right now. He's taking too many losses.
Right.
And that's an issue. Cena.
Take a big show at Survivor Series. It could work.
But
you bring in Taker to stop the
destruction of
the show.
Big Show, Taker. I don't know how good that match would be at this point.
It would have to be a brawl. It couldn't be a wrestling match. It would have to be a brawl. And if I remember the last time Taker and Show feuded, which was a couple of years ago, it wasn't that great.
No, they weren't having that great of matches. That's an interesting one. Sheamus, Cena. That's an interesting pairing.
It's an interesting pairing, but didn't they do it?
A couple of years ago.
Cena Christian could be interesting.
They would never do it. They would never do it.
Yeah, they're not going to put Christian over like that.
Cena Sheamus, though, that has... You would have to turn heel Sheamus. Sheamus heel, not heel Sheamus. If they continue on the road with Sheamus, that could work. That's tough. That's a question we should come back to, is what do you do with John Cena?
Next week's discussion topic, what do you do with John Cena for WrestleMania?
Maybe, if we have time next week, because next week's going to be a loaded show.
This is true, next week is going to be a loaded show. But
Let's talk about that real quick. If you haven't already heard, we're rebooking next week.
Yes.
Karma has returned to WWE. You know, return after pregnancy. How would you book it? Got an idea? Send it to media@wildtalkradio.com. Bullet points we will read on the air. If you do a long description, we will post it on Facebook and Twitter.
We will still read it, but we will post it on Facebook. But yes, if you want it read on air, please bullet point, short, concise, makes sense. And the point is you book her return up until her winning the Divas title, so you can have her win it off of that. You can book it a year out. It's up to y'all. We're trying to get as many participants in as possible, so please submit those in. And where can they do that, Rock?
media@wildtalkradio.com.
Sweet.
Yes. But I think we covered enough with the Taker thing for now. Well, as the show goes, we'll always go back to Undertaker in some fashion.
Yeah, because I'm the Taker fangirl, so...
She's the Taker fangirl, and there's a lot more coming up with Undertaker. And probably more to talk about Undertaker when he hopefully shows up on the 23rd of this month at Monday Night Raw's big 3-hour show.
If he does, it will be the squee heard around the world.
I
won't be alone.
A lot of people will be squeeing over Undertaker's return. At this point, I think we should get into our question of the night.
We should. We should totally get into the question of the night. For those of you who may not have been tuned in at the beginning of the show, we have a question of the night where we talk about the question, basically. So yes. What we came up with was, who is the most underrated X Division wrestler in TNA history? And Rock, what were some of the answers we got to that?
Mini James Earl Jones. Oh, I mean, Loki. that was one of them. We got a Jay Lethal. We got a Shark Boy. We got a Petey Williams, a Sanjay Dutt. We got one person who said Rob Van Dam.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
RVD was X Division?
Yeah. Said RVD. We got a Petey Williams, a Jerry Lynn, and Amazing Red. We had one person say Kid Cash.
Is her name Melinda?
No. No.
Okay. I love you, Mel. Sorry.
No, someone named Debbie. It was interesting choices thrown out there from the universe. What do you think? Who's the most underrated, in your opinion?
You know, honestly, I actually have two.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the obvious Petey Williams.
Right.
Just because I understand he got a great run with Team Canada, but they really didn't do crap with him afterwards. Mm-hmm. And he kind of got the short end of the stick, seeing as he had to imitate Scott Steiner.
He's got your hookup. Holler if you hear him.
Yeah. And I would also have to agree with somebody that said Amazing Red. They did more with him in his, I think, second or third run in TNA. Mm-hmm. But they never really ever capitalized on him. And he is a fantastic talent, and I wish they had done more with him. And I'd actually like to see him come back, but I don't think that's going to happen.
It'd be nice to see Petey Williams back. Oh,
Who do you think?
Jay Lethal's a good one. I originally thought Sanjay Dutt is an underrated talent. Petey Williams, that you mentioned. Chris Sabin.
Yes.
That's one that hasn't been put out there, but I'm going to throw it out there. Chris Sabin. If you remember back in the day, he was one of the up-and-coming stars of the company in the X Division. He won the X Division title early on in his career. He was never given the credit he should have for his run.
He's still not given his credit, even as a tag team wrestler.
No, he's not really given his due, as it were, in TNA. It's a shame about his injuries, because he would be the star of the X Division right now as it moved forward after Aries. I think Sabin would have been the next guy to carry that division. I think he would have the talent to do it.
Oh yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly, and I think he could have carried it before Aries came back. I mean, it's just really unfortunate about his injuries.
Yeah, he suffered injury bug. Alex Shelley is another underrated talent. He's talented. Michael Shane, remember that name? He was pretty good back in the day.
I remember Michael Shane. Rode in a car with him once. Nice guy.
There's a lot of guys who started the X Division or have been underrated, as it were.
Yeah, I think you have to look back at the beginnings of TNA and look at their X Division, and a lot of the guys that started it really never got their due. I mean, unfortunately, it's Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles did, but, you know, I would even argue guys like Kaz.
That's another one.
Were and are underrated. I mean, it's nice to see Daniels and Kaz and Styles and Aries moving up in the company, moving into the World Heavyweight title, but at the same time, it's like these are guys that helped build the company, really.
and they're not getting their, they never got their due in doing that. They're just now getting it.
This is very true.
Because then you could also say, I don't know if he qualifies as X Division, but you could also say EY.
I don't think he qualifies as X Division. He's a little out of that bracket. But yeah, he's underrated as well.
Was Divine in the...
Divine was in X Division. Divine is considered X Division.
Here's another one that never got the props he deserved. And it's just, you could sit here and you could look at the roster of the company and look at their X Division and be like, pretty much everybody
they were never given their due. Even though they were the big part of the company, they never got that push to where guys like Storm and Root are now finally getting it.
I would say the exception to that would be AJ.
Yes, AJ got it, but he was there early on. He won the title early.
Yeah.
He bounced back into the X Division, but yeah, AJ.
Daniels is another potential exception, but he did not get as much as AJ did. AJ became the poster boy of the company, and they pushed him really hard, and everyone else kind of fell by the wayside, unfortunately.
Right, because Daniels bounced around in tag teams for a while as well.
So it's just, I think the whole division is just underrated, and I would love to see them take what they're doing right now and create a resurgence in that and have the X Division again. Because you and I were sitting here thinking of it, and it's like when we were looking at the tournament of who they could possibly have in it, we're sitting here looking at the tournament going, oh God, they don't have anybody that can really participate.
All right, and bringing in these new people, they got some that can work, some that can, and hopefully we never see them again. But for the most part, they brought in some good people, and on Sunday, the focus is going to be on the X Division, and it's their time. If these matches turn out good, it will give the powers that be in TNA a reason to continue to book the X Division strong. And a lot rides on Austin Aries to deliver.
Yeah. I think he will.
Oh, I have no doubts they will, but he can't have an off night. If he's going to have an off night, it can't be Sunday.
Yeah, that's the thing. He needs to have... They're building this as the match of the night, essentially, already, before they've even had it. And that goes for the same thing for Rude. Rude cannot have an off night. Aries cannot have an off night. They're both going to have to be on. Because there's a lot riding on this. And this is basically, if Aries doesn't deliver, or if Rude doesn't help him deliver, Aries is going right back to the X Division. You know he is.
Yeah, as much as they're in love with him, they can have no problem moving him back down the ladder.
So, yeah, I mean, I imagine there's a ton of stuff riding on this, and I hope they both deliver. I want to see this be just epic, off-the-chart match.
And it's going to make Sunday an interesting pay-per-view. I'm really honestly, I look forward to Slammiversary. It turned out really good. Watching Impact live lately, it's getting me more interested in seeing their pay-per-views.
Yeah.
They're doing a better job making these matches seem important. Because Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, that's made seem to seem important. AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels, that's made it seem important. They're making us care about the Money in the Bank matches. Because if we look ahead to Money in the Bank, it's like...
I don't want to see Money in the Bank. Could care less about Money in the Bank.
Exactly. There's a difference right now. The TNA is doing a better job building matches of importance. WWE is throwing together matches. Well, they're making matches seem important.
I would have to argue that Money in the Bank, I think, this year was sacrificed for the 23rd of July. I honestly think that's what has happened, is they just really don't even care about Money in the Bank at this point. They're so focused on the 1,000th Raw.
Yeah, they...
That the pay-per-view has suffered for it.
That was going to be my discussion question on Sunday that I had thought up. What's more important in WWE's eyes, Money in the Bank or Raw's 1,000th episode? And it's quite frankly, we're going to see it's going to be the Raw 1,000th episode.
Yeah, I mean, just their booking choices, the way that they're throwing this pay-per-view together, and I mean, they're literally throwing it together with a nail gun and duct tape, is just really questionable as far as the matches. I mean, I don't know who thought a four-man WWE championship only Money in the Bank with John Cena, Kane, Big Show, and Chris Jericho was going to be a good idea, but they were high.
Yeah.
I know you've got essentially your four top guys right now in there, but still, it's, oh God, this is going to be a fatal four-way with a ladder involved at the end, and it's just, it's not going to be good.
No, it's not, but we're getting more of that next week on the show. Anything else you want to bring up tonight?
I don't have anything I want to bring up, but do you have anything you want to gripe about?
Yeah, Comcast, you suck so much. If you're going to have people promote your product, you're going to send emails, you know, might as well inform them of, you know, the product you're going to be promoting. Because the next day I saw a commercial about it on TV.
Are you referring to the Skype on Xfinity?
Yeah, let's Skype on Xfinity.
By the way, anybody that pays $10 a month for a webcam that plugs into your cable box when you can get Skype for free on your computer with a webcam already plugged into it is an idiot.
Yes. And that's $10 if you have the triple play. It's more if you don't have triple play.
Again, if you pay for this, you're stupid. Stupid!
We're Skyping for free right now.
Yeah. The only thing it's costing me is to pay Comcast for my internet service.
Mm-hmm.
And I can Skype from anywhere.
For free.
And I can steal other people's internets to do that.
Mm-hmm. One other thing we should mention, the picture I showed you earlier today of the newest menu item at Burger King.
Oh, God. The bacon sundae. Who thought of this? Okay. I will admit, if you've ever seen the show Top Chef, I forget which season it is, but it's the one with Richard Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
And for part of his finale dish, he made bacon ice cream. I would be half tempted to try that. I'm not going to lie. I would actually just want to try bacon ice cream just to see if it's as nasty as I think it is. Burger King has come up with a bacon sundae where it's a vanilla ice cream, hot fudge, and bacon bits.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, no. This is almost as bad as KFC's chicken sandwich where they use two chicken breasts as the bread. I don't know what y'all are thinking up there in Burger King, KFC, Foodland, but no, just no. There is a line. You have to draw it. And bacon on ice cream on a sundae is just no. Although I will say that, yeah, I'll agree with Jersey. The BK sweet potato fries do look good. And no, they don't need a McRib double down. Yes, this is why you're fat.com. Yes, I totally agree. We look way too much into fast food.
But on that note, I think we're good tonight.
I don't get to gripe.
Oh, you have a gripe? Okay.
I have a gripe.
Okay.
To the lady last night who came out and told me I had to shut down my fireworks display, which, oh yeah, by the way, is one of those little fountain things and burns for a minute before it sputters out. Fuck you. There was no menu. There was no memo. There was no posted sign telling me I could not shoot off fireworks yesterday in the parking lot, away from all the cars. But no, you felt the need to come out and tell me that not only could I not shoot off my fireworks, which I pay my rent here, I'm authorized to be here, damn well I should be able to shoot them off whenever I want, but that you were going to call the cops on me too. Go to hell. Fuck you. I'm done.
You feel good letting that all out?
Yes, I want to go throw things at her. Still have my little poppets that I didn't get to use.
Damn it.
So I may be throwing them at her, but we'll just have to see.
Gonna get this call. I've been arrested. Throwing poppets at my neighbor.
If you'd like to donate to the Lindsay Ward Civil Defense Fund, please click on the donate button up top on wildtalkradio.com and send us money. And speaking of sending us money, there's another ad up there. Please click on the iBlack.com banner.
Yes, please.
Site and check them out, please. This is of vital importance. They like it when people do that, and they sponsor us because people do that. So please click on the banner as many times as you want. Go to their site, buy their stuff, check them out. It's really cool. It's really affordable. And hell, they have Shawn Michaels as their spokesman. How horrible can this stuff be?
Yeah, and it's affordable. So check them out. iBlack.com.
Yes.
Do I have to now start my long list of plugging?
Plug away.
Okay. Take a deep breath. Okay. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio, while some people are not having the dream date of a lifetime, you can join us for your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night at CB Radio, where we talk about the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. You never know what we'll talk about. We may talk sex dolls. We may talk fast food. We'll talk movies. And other weird and strange things at CB Radio. You never know what to expect on a Saturday night with CB Radio. That's midnight-ish. Sunday.
Wait. Maybe one show we should do a dating show for TJ Omega and hook him up with an available lady.
I think that's it's not a bad idea. He's gonna kill you now.
He's yelling at me in Skype. That's why I did that. But it would be so awesome to give you away on the internet. We could auction him off. We could do a bachelor auction. It would be epic.
I think we gotta do it now. He's gonna kill us for now coming up with this concept.
He's yelling at me in Skype. Anyway, continue to plug away.
Russell Talk Radio, Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, as we'll cover Destination X. We'll talk about Money in the Bank and all that fun stuff. We've got 3 cents so far for the Omega bid. 3 cents!
And a cow sex doll.
And a cow sex doll. So join us for Russell Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's the Raw Post Show. We're going to talk everything about WWE Monday Night Raw. 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Can we get up to 5 cents for Omega? Come on. He's worth it. Maybe 10.
Well, they're asking if Lita can bid.
Lita can bid. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik, as he'll be speaking to Dustin Rhodes, Reynolds, Goldust, whatever you want to call him, and Mike Mundo, 9 p.m. Eastern, live Tuesday night. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show. They have a special guest. Adam Pierce will be on the program, where they have another guest. I can't remember their name, but tune in. It's just another goddamn wrestling show. Wednesday night at 8:30. We'll be back next week for another edition of The Rack. Check the Facebook page of Wild Talk Radio Network at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network or twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio. Look back in our past tweets and Facebook posts. You can see WTR Riffs with myself, Lindsay, Mace, and Omega as we riff on things in pro wrestling. If you have suggestions, tweet them to us, Facebook them, email them, media@wildtalkradio.com. And we'll riff on some stuff for you. New ones coming this weekend when I find the time to put the videos together. WTRProductions.net, CanadianOpera.com, and I don't have anything else I want to plug.
God damn, your list gets longer and longer every week. Hey, look, we're up to $10 if we can get him the date with Lita. $10 and a date with Lita going once. Any more bids? Any more?
We're going to have to continue this.
Yes, we're going to have to continue this. Next show, we will auction off TJ Omega, so get your monies ready. But on that note, you can follow me on Twitter at Linz Ward, LinsWard. You can follow the show at WTR_rack. As always, you can follow us at Wild Talk Radio. We're here every week, 11 p.m. Eastern, and we're brought to you by iBlack.com on Thursdays, by the way. And on that note, we are out. So for Rock and Omega, who is now presently yelling at me in Skype, y'all have a good night.
WildTalkRadio.com.